and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you are in the clubhouse. Welcome. It's October. Yes, October 4th already. Pia Nilsson and Lynn Marriott, Vision 54, joining us right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, or store, townhouse, custom, or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. So call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. And Point Bubay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Point Bubay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And also Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
And we are proud to introduce our latest sponsor to join the team, Alert Alarm Hawaii. Alert Alarm Hawaii, protecting commercial and residential customers across the islands with affordable burglar and fire alarm systems since 1962, providing security solutions for your peace of mind. And providing solutions to improve your game, it's Pia Nilsson and Lynn Marriott, Vision 54 creators, founders. Vision 54 in many things. It's a number, a philosophy, an attitude, a process, and a discipline. It represents a future full of possibilities and unlimited human potential. They'll be in Hawaii in February of 2015, so you only have 5 months. And so you want to make sure that you get your reservation in right away. So this class stays. It'll be at Kapalua, February 20th to the 22nd. Maui, it's a three-day session. Welcome to the show, Pia and Lynn.
Thank you, Danielle.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this I want to talk about the school. I want to talk about the session, the three-day session. Now, participants, I understand you recommend that they be a handicap 20 or lower. So this is for people. People, are you listening? You've spent thousands of dollars on equipment trying to lower your handicap. All right. Now you're, and you've taken lessons and you're down to that 10 and you just can't shave any more off. You're getting frustrated. You're at 20. You really want to get down to the 10. The time is now to book your class with Pia and Lynn Nilsson, Vision 54, because you guys are, I understand you also teach corporate level, like McDonald's, your philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we call that 54 Think, but we, you know, our eight essential playing skills are very applicable to any business setting or corporate setting or team setting, management setting, and we do that as well.
Because, you know, the way, you know, we know when you play golf, and like you already mentioned, we need to, you know, have good enough equipment, and we need to have a functional technique, but it's always a human being that plays golf, so we need human skills. We need human skills to manage ourselves on the golf course, and those skills obviously can be used in many other things in life as well.
Exactly, and I love the fact that the way you talk about representing a future full of possibilities and unlimited human potential, believing that you can shoot a birdie on every hole. You have to walk up to that tee box and believe it. Now, how do you help instill that belief in your students?
Yeah. You know, but it's just, you know, to really think about it, because many start golf and think more about, you know, fixes and faults and limitations, and it just doesn't make sense, because none of us really know our potential, and we're never going to know. But as long as we keep, you know, striving and we keep learning new habits, new skills, and just, you know, allowing ourselves to go as far as we can go with the time we have for golf, It just, you know, every shot we hit, no matter what our handicap is, might be the best shot of our life. And it's just having more of that attitude so it frees us up and we can have more fun doing it too.
Yeah, and I'd like to add, Danielle, I mean, one of the things that we are learning through the neuroscience is that the brain has this, what they call a negativity bias, meaning that it stores negative events stronger and faster than positive events. So if you just kind of extrapolate that out, human beings have a tendency to focus on problems more than solutions or like Pia said, the faults and fixes versus what's going well in their game. And it's just so interesting because people will remember their bad shots stronger, faster, more in-depth than their good shots. But the interesting thing is if you train people and you, first of all, give them this education, but then give them a training, as Pia said, like a skill, they can turn that around. So it's just interesting back to like Vision 54 is that, you know, it started with Pia being the Swedish national coach, but we say this in all of our golf schools is that when people come and say, okay, add up all the birdies you've had at your home course, and many have had, you know, they've had 54 or they've had close to it. They've had 18 birdies, but they actually haven't focused on that. And it goes back to this ancient brain of ours that has this tendency to really kick into this negativity bias.
It's got to be a survival. You remember something negative that happened, so you don't let that, you know, you have to make sure that you don't go in that cave, because in that cave is something you never want to meet again.
but see, that limits us to thinking about our possibilities.
Yes.
And it doesn't open up to, as Pia said, all this potential that's sitting there that we know already exists and people tapping into it.
Yeah, that's the you know, the higher brain that we somehow have such a hard time reaching to, and we analyze the way we think, the way we behave, the way we've learned our learned behavior over, you know, the millennium, and then we talk about, well, how does the brain process information? Is it the frontal cortex, or, you know, all of these different things that we try to improve our golf skills with? And then I hear about you, Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, Vision 54, using music with your students. How does that bring that higher brain into the process?
Well, I'll just say this, is that the research now, again, that is out there on meditation is just phenomenal. And so meditation has gone from being something like that happened in Tibet or in an ashram to just being, it's happening in the U.S. military, you know, the Marines and the Army, they're learning to meditate. Meditation going into the corporate world, you know, they sometimes call it mindfulness. But what we have found is a company that we're working with that produces audio tracks, so it's music or it's sounds or waterfalls and nature sounds. And as you listen to that, actually, behind it is a very sophisticated technology that allows your brain to shift into a more meditative performance state.
I think doodling, you know, when you find yourself, we go into meditative states in a lot of things that we just take for granted. And cultivating that allows us to perform better. We're speaking with Vision 54 founders Pia Nilsson and Lynn Marriott. They're going to be here in Hawaii. If you're planning a trip to the islands, if you're planning a trip to go neighbor island, doing a staycation to Maui, this is the perfect time to do it. February 2015, the 20th to the 22nd at Kapalua on Maui. It's a 3-day session. How does this, how do you teach the sessions over the 3 days?
Yeah, you know, so we have many different programs, 1, 2, 3 days, but we really like 3 days because, you know, we get to know the golfers. We every day practice, every day we do presenting to learn new skills, and every day go on the golf course, because the most important piece for us is to make sure it functions on the golf course. So every day we're on the golf course coaching the players, but during the 3 days we have time to cover and really make sure that the participants leave with a plan and understanding what they need to make golf both more fun and play better. Yeah, and what are the essential playing skills, Division 54 essential playing skills, are relevant for for their game when they get home and they're working on it. So, because why we think it's so incredibly important to go on the golf course, because in our view, you can never know the golfer's game or what needs to be improved until you see them play on the golf course, because everybody's different in the range setting than we are on the golf course. So that's why we want to pay more attention to who are you on the golf course and what are the things that can be fine-tuned to make that experience better.
Yeah, and I'll just say we've seen both of these scenarios where we've seen somebody hit it on the range and they have this beautiful-looking swing, and we get out on the golf course and I'm like, oh, my God, what's that? It's like Jekyll and Hyde. And, you know, they actually don't have the playing skills to take that beautiful swing and ball striking they have on the range to the course. And then we've seen just the opposite, is we've seen somebody who doesn't seem to hit it so well on the range, and we get out on the course, and they're like, they're actually game savvy. They just need a little more coaching how to take it up a notch. So that, you know, to Pia's point is that really for us, the litmus test of our coaching is that people can take these skills to the golf course.
That's fascinating. We watch these Korean players come into the LPGA. They have so few options in Korea to use a golf course, to actually get on the course. They learn, they practice, they're all indoors. How are they making that transition from the practice tee to the golf course so successfully?
Yeah, well, we've been to Korea once. But we've actually had this discussion with David Ledbetter quite a bit, and there's a lot of golfers still on the range in Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just actually in some ways a matter of numbers.
Yeah, there's so many of them, and they work so hard, and their work ethic is so hard. And you know, they are really good, and still there are only a few of them who make it to the top and actually stay on top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ones that actually do add much more of the playing skill. Because there can be many that, you know, they get really good, and then by their early 20s, we don't see them as much.
This
so
is true, yes.
It still comes a point when they, you know, when they're fantastic repetitive swings, and they can, you know, hit the one shot and be very clear about that. But to really become a champion, they need to go to that next level as well. Yeah.
I
think of Julie Inkster, for example. And, you know, when we see a Korean player that's still playing at the age of 54, I think she is, then I'm like, oh, okay, now maybe we have a more complete package.
Yeah. That's beautiful, and that's I imagine that's why so many opt to come to Hawaii, because it's easy for them to make the trip from, relatively, to Hawaii, where there's the cultures are mixed here. They become,
yes,
they get used to being in America, but they have access to all of the food and kind of the relationships that they can cultivate, and then go to, let's say, Arizona, where so many people, and then you have access to all of the golf courses. And
you know, that's exactly what Grace Park did. I was Grace's coach when she did move from Hawaii to Arizona. And that's exactly how Grace started her career, if you will call it that. But she made the trip from Korea to Hawaii and then stayed in Hawaii with Kathy Matt and then came here to Arizona.
Excellent. We're going to take a break. We're talking with Pia Nilsson and Lynn Marriott, Vision 54. I love the books that they write. You really need to get them. And they have a 3-day program, Immersion into Essential Playing Skills. It's going to be at Kapalua, a beautiful, beautiful facility. Not just the practice facility, but of course the courses. You'll be at the practice facility, on the courses, for 3 days with Pia and Lynn, Vision 54. And we'll be back right after this with more from them. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with three separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And today, you want to check out the amazing new 2015 TLX at Acura of Honolulu. It's your first opportunity to drive four-cylinder and the six-cylinder engines to find the TLX that's perfect for you. For a limited time, you'll get rates as low as 1.9 APR, whether you choose the ultra-sporty, the responsive four-cylinder, or the muscular and athletic six-cylinder. Four modes of ride control. The new 2015 TLX delivers a new level of comfort or the thrill. The choice is yours, and you can choose a new TLX. Visit Acura of Honolulu today. You can go to 777-ALA-MOANA or AcuraHawaii.com. We're talking this morning with Pia Nilsson and Lynn Marriott, Vision 54 founders. And I've been talking about the February 2015 3-day program. Pia and Lynn teaching you. The ratio of student to teacher is 4-1 maximum. So this is such a prime opportunity for you to really learn how to take your skills and then bring something completely new and different into the way you look at the game and walk away saying and feeling so much better, knowing what you need to do to really push yourself. It's a 3-day program, immersion into essential playing skills. I haven't told you how to register. My bad. Vision54.com. It's real easy. Vision54.com. And then at the top of the page, you'll see Home, About Us, and Our Programs. Click on Our Programs and you'll get the drop down. And then they'll have golf, or I think it's coach, and of corporate, of course, if you want to as well, apply that to your business model. But under program, then you'll find Maui. There's lots of Scottsdale. Look for Maui and click on that and you'll find everything there. The recommended handicap, 20 and lower, coaches, Lynn Marriott, Pia Nilsson, and the times from 9 to 5. So Pia and Lynn, I'm not sure who wants to take this first, but how does a day go? The first, second, third day, how do you basically play this out?
Well, I mean, the normal schedule is that we start in the morning, and from morning till mid-afternoon, it's a mix of presenting practice, and do that. And then sometime in the afternoon, we'll go out on the golf course. And it depends on, usually, sometimes we go out right after lunch, sometimes we wait till around 3 o'clock. But every day is going to be that mixture. So all the participants get a lot of individual attention, and the things we talk about, you always get a chance to practice and incorporate in your own game and then get coaching how it works for you on the golf course. Because we do believe every golfer needs a unique way to play because we're all different. So, you know, even though the concept like committing to a decision is universal, but then how each player needs to do it is very individual. So we want to make sure it gets fine-tuned for each golfer.
Yeah. Now,
I'll give an example to that, Danielle, sure. that particular skill, decision, and commitment. Some players actually bring that skill more to life when they state their decisions out loud. And there's kind of an accountability to that. And they just feel more congruent with making the decision and then stepping in and committing to it. So it would be like, okay, 7-iron, right side of the green, and 75% tempo. Yeah. But then somebody else might not feel that that really fits them. And so they're more internal with their decision making. And when they're more internal and they can just be calm with their decision, then they can feel like they can commit, step into the play box, commit, and go. So we just take that's just an example of how taking one of the skills and making it more individualized.
Excellent. I find that when I step up to the tee, I think I know what I'm going to do, and then my mind goes blank.
Maybe make a decision too early.
Yeah, or maybe we just need to, you're taking too much into account. You need to pare down what you're trying to make a decision about.
Ah, I like that. That's good. I probably am. So many of us think about everything through, and there are some people that works with. Some people who are very analytical, I suppose. It would.
Yeah.
I'm more of a, you know, a feel. I react better than I plan to act. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. I mean, and so make sure you use that. Absolutely. And the more, if you're more of an instinctive type player, then all that data just actually kind of drowns out your instinct or, you know, it takes kind of the shine off of it. And even though the prevailing theory out there is that you're supposed to get all this data to make a decision, but that's not true for everybody.
Yeah, see, this is why you need to go to Vision 54, 3-day set. They have 3-day programs, but if you're like, in the Arizona area, there's half-day programs, and that's for people who have a 36 handicap or better. You know, so the 3-day programs are more specific for people with a 20 and lower. I guess it's because 3 days is a lot for somebody who's not really good to have to try to absorb all that information. Is that your?
Yeah, and you know, of course, it doesn't have to be exactly. If someone has played a lot of golf and have a 24, 25 handicap, it's still going to be fine, but. It's just that we won't spend a lot of time on the technical fundamentals of shots. So we have, you know, we have 2-day programs with a higher handicap because we just need a little different ratio of the things we practice and the things we can do in the course. So that's why we have that. But it's not like 20 is not set in stone. But
no. I mean, we've actually had some 30 handicaps at 10, but they're stuck at 30 because they've only done technical things. And so what's been really interesting is, you know, we said, of course you can come, and then boom, like, you know, after the program, they drop 8 to 10 shots really quickly.
That's wonderful. It's vision54.com, and you'll see at the top of the page, Home, About Us, and Our Programs. When you click on that, it'll show you the different programs. You find 54 Golf, and then it'll show you can find Kapalua, Maui, and it's February, and it's the perfect time to plan it because it's just a few months out. It's coming fast, isn't it? I mean, it's 5 months from now.
So, you know,
really? You before I let you go, you have 3 fabulous books, and I love the way they're laid out. With the, for instance, chapter 2 in Play Your Best Golf Now starts off with little thoughts. There's like each chapter has a quote and a swing key at the very beginning. And chapter 2, I think it's Leave Your Mind Behind. And the swing key is Celebrate the Sacred Ground of Golf. It takes you a little bit outside of the mechanics. And I think I really like that. So the 3 books are Play Your Best Golf Now, the game before the game, and every shot must have a purpose. And that, I believe, was the first book that came out. You're working on number four. When are we going to see this one, and what's it about?
Well, it's going to come up later next year, and the title is Be a Player. And it's going to have a lot to do with how you can do all this learning on the course while you're playing, because we know that, you know, whatever, 90% at least of the world population of golfers might want to practice, and but they don't have time because they're working, they have families, they have other things. So most golfers might warm up, but then they go and play. So we still think so much learning can be done while you play around on Saturday. You can take 6 holes out of your 18 holes and do some extra exercises to improve your game. So it's going to be about how to learn to become a better and happier player by doing more exercises on the golf course.
So be a player, yeah, be a player on the course, and oh, that's great. Yes, Lynn?
Yeah. Well, just that, you know, we've looked at this a lot, and, you know, if you look at the timeline, if you will, of golf instruction, you go back to the beginning, golf instruction or golf coaching happened on the golf course. And then it moved away from the golf course to, you know, maybe a shag bag and hitting shots out into a fairway. And then it moved on to something called the driving range. And now, actually, there's a whole culture that is called practice that is separate from actually playing the game. And we're just trying to bring it back to its roots, that actually how you learn to play better golf is by being on the golf course.
Excellent. You're wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We need to talk more. I never allot us enough time.
Well, Danielle, we love talking with you, Danielle.
We'll just come back.
Okay, good. Pia Nilsson, Lynn Marriott, Vision 54, coming to Kapalua, Maui in February 2015. You can find more information at vision54.com. Thanks for being on the show. We'll talk soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Aloha. We'll be back with Bill Fields right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Alert Alarm Hawaii has been protecting commercial and residential customers across Hawaii with affordable burglar and fire alarm systems since 1962. These systems are designed to detect intruders and signal our 24-hour, 5-diamond alarm local monitoring center, which then notifies the appropriate emergency agency. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina company. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, call 528-6407, providing security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
We have a new phone number for you to call with your questions or your comments or your suggestions. The number is 844-332-8500. Please call that number. It's 844-332-8500. With your questions, your comments, or your suggestions about your game or about the game or about what we're talking about, let us know maybe what the funniest or most memorable moment was that happened to you on the golf course. You could be the winner of a couple of sleeves of golf balls. The number is 844-332-8500. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
A wonderful writer, Bill Fields, golf journalist, writer and author and photographer, multi-talented. He just wrote or released Arnie Seve and a Fleck of Golf History. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hi, Danielle. Nice to be talking to you again.
Absolutely. I'm looking at the foreword. It's from Ben Crenshaw. It is with pleasure and it's an honor to write a few words about Bill Fields and his talented prose. I have always loved golf history, for it's rich with people and places and the famous battlefields where many important events and milestones have occurred. And then he sums it up and says, in sum, to paraphrase the great Bob Jones, who said of golf, it is the type of game that burns inwardly and sears the soul. So it is with Bill's considerable efforts, that you bring to your writing something that's deep inside all of us, the humanity and the technical. You blend it all together. And I'm really impressed when I opened up the book this morning thinking, okay, what am I going to focus on that kind of relates to the news of the day, which would be, of course, the Ryder Cup and Tom Watson and the player meeting on Saturday and the things that unfolded the following day with Phil Mickelson searing, if you will, the PGA of America and Tom Watson for not following a different sort of coaching style. I opened it to Chapter 27, The Detour of a Phenom. And in that is a quote from Tom Watson. And I thought, that's just interesting. Can I first ask you, before we talk about Bobby Clampett, can we talk, what's your takeaway from the Ryder Cup and all this talk about Tom Watson?
Well, I guess at this point, it'd be nice to hear from Watson himself to get his side of it. I don't know if he'll be forthcoming, or if he is, when that'll come. But certainly, according to Bob Herrig's story on ESPN.com yesterday, citing four unnamed sources that were in that meeting on Saturday night, it sounded like it was not perhaps the best or the most warm and fuzzy atmosphere. And of course, the Americans had played very poorly in the foursome session on Saturday afternoon. And Watson's never made a pretense of being a new age guy. He's an old school guy, a dig it out of the dirt kind of guy. And, Ted Bishop, when he picked him to be captain, I think he knew that. And, if Tom Watson's team had won the Ryder Cup, we'd be having a much different conversation. But, that didn't happen.
No, and if you haven't heard, because in Hawaii it kind of broke around midday for us, and it was evening for a lot of people, that basically Tom Watson strode into the Saturday evening get-together, and instead of, rah-rah, we can do this, the Europeans came back from the same deficit, he launched into something like, you all stink at foursomes, and... a gift was offered in the form of sort of a miniature replica of the Ryder Cup. All of them have signed it, and they want to give it to Tom. And he says, I don't care about that, or something to that effect. I wasn't there. I don't know what the quote is. I want the real thing. And then from what we hear from those four unnamed sources, Phil Mickelson took over, kind of turned his back on Tom, sat down and told each and every one of the players why they were important to the team. So what we have is, as you said, old school philosophy where you walk in and you sort of go, what's wrong with you guys? What's wrong? You get it together here. You scallywags, you can't even tie your shoes right. That's not what these young guys are accustomed to, is it, Bill?
I guess not. I think the Ryder Cup, you talked about the gift that they were giving the captain. It's become such a production. I think, it would be nice if some of the genie could be put back in the bottle, in the sense that, it became a simpler event with the play about the players. And but it's it's become a production. The players and their wives and their significant others get gifts, and the captains get gifts. It's just it's straight a long way from its original intent. That's not all bad, but whether the players could have succeeded under an old school approach, I don't know.
I get it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was just going to say, clearly, Ted Bishop, the president of the PGA, who was instrumental in getting Watson to take the role again 21 years after, you know, he led the U.S. to the first, to the last overseas victory in the Ryder Cup. You know, he clearly, you know, he knew or should have known what Watson was all about. And, you know, if the Americans had played better Saturday afternoon, I think I wrote a blog post the other day, and, you know, I wasn't at the Ryder Cup. I wasn't able to, you know, there to report, but, you know, Azinger talked, the captain in 2008, the last time the Americans had won. He talked then and subsequently about, you know, the captain and a 1% edge or whatever. He can make a difference. And, you know, clearly Watson and the way the players seemingly viewed him, it wasn't a positive 1%, it doesn't look like. And, you know, the Americans, as a result, lose for the eighth time in 10 Ryder Cups and third in a row. Europeans played better. Beyond anything else, you also have to say that. Whatever contributed to the Americans' performance, Europeans beat them.
That's what my takeaway was. They simply outplayed us. And I imagine that playing poorly didn't help matters, and you just piling on. Is there a and by the way, you can find Bill at billfields.net, and Changing the Ryder Cup Odds is the title of his blog here at billfields.net. What would you do to change it? Would you put in the pod philosophy of Paul Azinger that was so successful?
It seems like the predominance of elite American players who are going to be in the running to make the Ryder Cup team, if that's what makes them happy, then I think, you know, why not? Or why not go to a version of that, you know, the new age word, and, you know, get them to invest in the team or whatever that Mickelson cited. You know, it's some fancy language sometimes to, you know, to just get players to play as a team. But the odd thing is, you know, in golf, it's not a team. It's still you're playing with a partner, but, you know, you're still playing your own ball, except for the foursomes. And it's the team dynamic in golf has always, you know, been an interesting thing. I think, you know, if winning is really the goal, then the PGA of America and, you know, it needs to tweak how the captains are picked. And maybe it'd be good to get somebody other than an ex-player as a captain, or certainly as an assistant captain. Maybe Bob Rotella could be a good assistant captain, or Dick Koop, or Pia Nielsen, or Lynn Marriott. You know, I think if you start broadening your thinking a little bit, maybe you could get more success.
Now, I like that. I like the idea, too, of the my thought was having the players have some input in who they'd like to have as their captain. You brought up foursomes, and we, you know, and Tom Watson said, y'all stink. And we do have a terrible record, every team in foursomes. Is it because they're so accustomed to the ball that they use normally that not playing by the same with their own personal ball make?
I don't think you can look to the equipment now as a real factor. All the balls are so good. Surely at that level there are slight differences, but now as standardized as the balls have gotten, I don't think that's really a legitimate excuse, if you will. I think it boils down to other things. You know, I will say, looking back at Watson, whatever he did or didn't do, the fact that Phil Mickelson did not play at all on the Saturday, I found that very odd, because he's, for better or worse, he's your marquee player on your team. And you sort of got to dance with who you brought. And for him to not play at all on the Saturday, I found that very strange.
It was very strange, and I thought it was, I don't know. This is a very strange Ryder Cup. Just our whole team, the way we came together or didn't come together, and the way we played, but all of our players were a little off, and I thought even the captain's picks were a little odd. You know, we didn't get to play the people who are really on.
Yeah, and you know, it goes back to okay, you know, is winning paramount? And clearly to the Europeans it seems to be. Yet, you know, we make the picks fairly early. You know, they say, you know, you have to get the names in the program and the uniforms and all that, but it seems like they could push it a little bit later, and maybe I thought, you know, the Webb Simpson pick, yeah, he's won the U.S. Open 2 years ago, but, you know, he'd been you know, in the majors this year, not much of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I certainly think you can scrutinize the Webb Simpson pick again, and he only played once prior to the singles. So, okay, there's a pick, and he's not really relying on him. You know, a lot of things just didn't go well for America, as that seems to happen in a different scenario almost every time. And to me, the moment that again indicated Europe seems to have this X factor of being able to pull something off in this event. You know, Poulter had not played well in the Ryder Cup this year, and then on Saturday he gets in that situation late in the match and he pitches in an unlikely shot. It changes everything, and it contributes to that European momentum going into the last day. And it just seems like it's indicative of how the Europeans are able to pull off something special in this event a little bit more often than the Americans can.
Maybe it's because they had, you know, so many defeats in the past. I mean, when you look at the Ryder Cup history, it's, you know, you see U.S. flag, U.S. flag, U.S. flag, U.S. flag, U.S. wow. And then finally, the UK comes to fore, but it's really when they invite the Euro, the continent. So it becomes the continent of Europe versus the United States of America.
Yeah, and you could say that, you know, it hasn't been a level playing field, really. You got a country against a continent. There's a lot of great golfers that have come out of Europe over the last 30 years or so. And, you know, it really, you know, I don't think it should be as lopsided as it is, but on the other hand, there's no reason why Europe shouldn't have won a good share of these Ryder Cups, because they've had some of the best players in the world, and they seem to, for whatever reason, have this X factor in the Ryder Cup that allows them not to wilt under the pressure, but to succeed under it.
Yes, indeed. We're talking with Bill Fields. He has this wonderful book that you should get, Heroes, Underdogs, Courses, and Championships. Arnie Seve and a Fleck of Golf History. Wonderful title, sir. I really like this book. It's a compilation of your work over how many years?
It's about a 20-year period. I think the first story appeared in 1994, and 2011, I think, is the end of the period. And I have an epilogue about Tiger Woods. But, thank you for the kind words. It's fun to have the book out, and hope people are enjoying it. I think it's a pretty good sweep of golf over a century or so, from through profiles of some of the best and some obscure but yet compelling figures.
I don't think about Bobby Clampett, and I don't think a lot of people know the history, that he was an absolutely fabulous golfer. Who would you equate him to as, you know, this is the next great Tiger Woods? Who would we talk about as the Bobby Clampett of today, who then loses his game?
Yeah, well, you know, when Clampett was on the scene in the early 80s, he was really going to be, you know, he was one of the next Nicklaus types, to use the phrase that was very popular, you know, starting with Tom Weisskopf, of those players that came after Jack and had the potential as young players to scale tall mountains. And Bobby Clampett was phenomenal. And, he, you know, I have my profile of him from about, you know, 12 years ago, I think. And, you know, it was a career that didn't pan out as people thought it might. And I think some of those type figures are interesting, almost more so than the superstars, because it speaks to how thin yet broad the line between true greatness and frustration at the elite level really is.
Yeah, and then he goes to, you know, the UK, and what was he competing in? The British Open back in 1982?
Yeah, he was on a great run at the Open in 82 at Troon, and it just ended up, you know, throwing away a big lead and losing. And, you know, he never, you know, that was his real first chance to win a major. And after that, he never really achieved the greatness. He started tinkering with the swing. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, go back to the 70s to Eddie Pierce, the great player out of Wake Forest, a Floridian. Also, people thought he would do great things, and, you know, he never did either. And, you know, these are human beings and a lot of factors, and just a great golf swing and putting stroke doesn't always rule the day.
That's right. We were talking earlier with Pia and Lynn of Vision 54, and I said, well, how are the Korean gals, you know, who don't have very many golf courses to practice on, they're in driving range bays working and honing their skills, and so many of them come over and they're successful, and their answer was, well, so many are still there and not successful. You know, what we see is not really all of them that are still trying so hard. But what I, in your story about Bobby Clampett, of course, CBS commentator, after his game went south, he was against Tom Watson in that particular event, the 1982 British Open at Royal Troon on Scotland's west coast. And Tom Watson said, and he quoted in Bill Field's book, "I feel very sorry for Bobby. He may be crying right now, but I've cried before, and he'll learn to be tough." And I thought, wow.
Yeah, that really speaks to Watson's attitude throughout his whole golf career and how he looks at the game, and you know how he has looked at the game from his days as a kid in Kansas City, playing in cold weather and rainy weather, and you know, learning the game. You know, you gotta be self-reliant. You gotta learn from your losses. And Watson always said that, you know, he learned more from losing at Wingfoot and at U.S. Open and stuff. That you know, the hard lessons are what you learn most from. And Watson's always believed that. And you know, it's no real surprise that at the Ryder Cup, I guess at age 65, that Watson, you know, used some tough love on the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, yeah. I was listening to Golf Channel's morning drive with Charlie Reimer, and Charlie said, you know, I got to be honest, the guys, you know, of 60 and over, they think these young kids, they make so much money they don't even have to win, and they make more than the older players. You know, there's not a lot of love lost.
Well, it's, you know, I think you know, players that are in their 60s, that they started out on the tour in a different era when they even had to pay for their own range balls, you know, after they stopped using shag bags. And, you know, you had to win a tournament to make any significant money. And it's just it's a whole different deal thanks to TV rights fees and everything else. And that doesn't mean today's players aren't great, but it's a different scene than what was the case 40 or 50 years ago.
Bill Fields, golf journalist, multiple winner of the Golf Writers Association of America annual writing awards, author of this wonderful book, Arnie Seve and a Fleck of Golf History. Thanks for being on the show. I hope you'll join me many more times.
Yes. Always love being on with you, Danielle, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll be back after this. We're going to talk with young Alex Myers. He writes something called The Grind, and it's interesting how golf journalism, well, I shouldn't call it journalism because Bill Fields is the golf journalist, and then there's golf writers, and then there's compilers. No, Alex, don't get upset. I'm not talking about you not being a journalist or a golf writer, but to get golf exciting for the young people, everything is kind of changing in the way golf is presented. Back Nine Network now on DirecTV, beautiful young women presenting the golf with men who can be the authoritative figures, the daddy figures, with the lovely girls on their arms. It's a whole different way that golf is presented to the world to get the young money into the game. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
When the outside world grows too intrusive, it's nice to know you can escape to one that's all your own. Like the one you'll find inside the Acura RDX. With over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space, The interior of the RDX is designed to be your personal sanctuary. The RDX also features perforated leather-trimmed seating surfaces that provide maximum comfort to every passenger, gripping them through accelerated turns. Immaculately designed and tailored to fit the human form, the Acura RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stowed in cargo area.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Stop by and check out the amazing new 2015 TLX at Acura of Honolulu this weekend. Four-cylinder and six-cylinder engines. You'll find that TLX perfect for you. A limited time only, though. You get rates as low as 1.9% APR, whether you choose the ultra-sporty and responsive four-cylinder, the muscular athletic six-cylinder, the modes of ride control, four of them in the new 2015 TLX, delivering a new level of comfort or thrill. The choice is yours. Excellent suspension system, by the by. But only if you choose a new TLX right now, visit Acura of Honolulu today. You can also go to AcuraHawaii.com and check them out before you go down to 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's an absolutely gorgeous day. Look at that beautiful blue sky and Diamond Head and the palm trees sway. Well, maybe they're not swaying. We have had very few winds. We wish the palm trees were swaying because the high's been about 90. We're breaking, and the winds are variable, which means they hardly blow. We never know which way. So if you like Target Golf, today's your day. Okay, today, another fabulous day. Alex Myers, come into the clubhouse, Alex. It's been way too long. Associate editor, Golf Digest magazine. He's a fantasy sports guru. He's the guy who told me that there's fantasy football insurance to protect your fantasy football team. You pay cash for that insurance. Seriously, right, Alex?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, good to be here, Danielle. Thanks. And you're making me jealous with all the weather talk. It's a terrible day in Connecticut. So kind of wish I was out where you guys are right now.
Alex Myers writes this one of my favorite Golf Digest columns. It's called The Grind. And it comes out on Tuesday at golfdigest.com. And Alex, I got to tell you, you always bring together such a serious stuff and not so serious stuff. And I love that we're selling and we're buying. you sold the selling Team USA just got sold out.
Yeah. It was not a great week for Team USA, yeah. Certainly at the Ryder Cup. Yeah.
So you sold them. You sold Tom. You're buying the Euros. And you're also selling gambling in airports. What? Gambling in airports? Seriously, where?
Yeah, in Amsterdam, I had a layover there on the way back. It was a pretty long trip back. And, I see this airport casino thing lit up. And I was like, whoa, what's this? And you go in, and it was a real casino in the Amsterdam airport. I was surprised. I'd never seen such a thing. I know in Vegas they have slot machines, but this was a real casino. They had roulette, they had craps, they had blackjack. And, I was going in to hopefully kill a little time for my flight. Unfortunately, I lost my money within 5 minutes, so I didn't really kill much time. But I'm more selling it because the blackjack rules were a little different. If you pushed on 17 through 20, you actually lost to the dealer instead of pushing. So, yeah, I think the odds are stacked a little in my against me. So I probably won't be stopping there the next time I happen to be in Amsterdam.
It's kind of like everything's more expensive in an airport.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. Yeah.
I got to ask you about this one, though. I didn't click. What Alex Myers at GolfDigest.com does is he... You know, he'll go say, radio interviews from the car. An Australian golf analyst was driving while giving his thoughts on the Ryder Cup. It did not end well. So I didn't click, because you can click to find out the full story.
Right.
What happened?
Yeah, so, you know, this Australian, former Australian pro, both the guy's names are slipping my mind, but he was on a channel. He's a, you know, a pretty prominent golf analyst.
Yeah.
And he's in the middle of discussing the Ryder Cup and specifically the Sunday lineup that Tom Watson went out there, and you actually hear him crash his car. And now, fortunately, no one was hurt. He just rear-ended someone, and his Mercedes got scuffed up. But you hear the audio, and you hear the two guys go "Jingo," and then "Jingo," and then you know, he goes, "Not the Mercedes." And it was just this really funny thing. So now I got to make sure now that when I do these interviews, I am not driving, because I have been guilty of that in the past too. Fortunately, never had as bad of an ending as this guy, but I think he learned his lesson. I think we can all learn our lesson. Doing less while you're driving is certainly smart.
There you go. I mean, truly. Okay. I got to ask you, do you think, somebody asked me, there's been so much on Twitter. You can follow Alex Myers at AlexMyers3, and it's M-Y-E-R-S. And you can follow me at The Golf Club. It's pretty simple, The Golf Club. I don't think I've ever said that before on the air. We're talking about this fellow who tweeted and said, you know, I'm tired of all this Ryder Cup talk. Why don't y'all talk about what changes at the PGA and talks with the tour? And I thought, well, I'm not sure exactly what he means. Does he mean, like, will the PGA ever get involved? The PGA of America, of course, owns the Ryder Cup. It's theirs.
Right.
So the idea of the PGA Tour ever getting involved in Ryder Cup is, like, distant or none, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the PGA Tour is involved in the President's Cup, and that's certainly in the off years. No, the Ryder Cup is certainly the PGA of America's, baby outside of the PGA Championship, although a lot of people would argue that the Ryder Cup has surpassed the PGA Championship, at least in, you know, popularity and ratings, all that, although not this year, as we saw with some of the dismal ratings that were due in part because of the U.S.'s performance, but also obviously being abroad, it's a little tougher for people in America to watch. But no, I don't see anything really changing there on the horizon. I mean, of course, there's been a lot of talk about the process picking the captain, maybe perhaps the process in picking the U.S. team for the Ryder Cup being tweaked. And certainly those are things that probably should be looked at when you have a side that's lost 8 out of 10 times.
Right. This is exactly what he said. So much talk about RC, Ryder Cup. Loved to hear talk on future of PGA and possible negotiations with Tour re-Ryder Cup. So just to let you know, that wouldn't happen. I was talking with Bill Fields just a few minutes ago. It is now that the continent of Europe is playing against the country of the United States, the continent of Europe is kind of, you know, winning a lot when they didn't in the past. When it was just the UK, we were, you know, taking them out to lunch or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Regularly. So then it became almost like, oh my God, why play this? It's embarrassing.
Right.
Then they let the So I extrapolated that out to a column I wrote, and I talked about it last week on the beginning of my show. Why not, like, you know, the whole face of golf is changing across the around the world. The globalization of golf. How about continents versus continents one day? You know, the continent of North America versus the continent of Africa.
Right.
I think that'd be fabulous. We expand the Ryder Cup. Why not a World Cup? World Cup doesn't lose people's interest. You know, so you get on board and we play out this thing. I don't know how it would be done, but it was just, it just seemed like, or make the continent of Europe against the continent of North America, but we'd have to let Canada and Mexico in. Would we be happy with that? What are your thoughts?
You know, if it came to it, you know, I wouldn't be against that. Certainly, you know, we could use some help as it appears with what's been going on in recent years. You know, as of right now, though, I don't know how much help the U.S. would get from adding Canada and Mexico. Certainly, I think, you know, Graham Dillette pops up as a name.
Yes.
From Canada, and now you have this young guy, Carlos Ortiz from Mexico, who had a tremendous season on the Web.com Tour, and you'll see him next year on the PGA Tour because he won three times on the Web.com Tour, which is very tough to do. So certainly, you know, you could make a case for a couple guys here or there. I actually read Bob Carney, a Golf Digest article the other day, too, talked about this and said that even though it wouldn't help right now, just opening it up to those other countries would possibly spark a bigger interest in the game in those countries, knowing that they have something to play for and maybe they could make the team. So, you know, you could definitely, you know, make that argument. And, at some point, if the UK hadn't added the rest of Europe to that team, who knows if the Ryder Cup would even still be going today, because it was certainly, you know, even more lopsided than it is now. And, you know, no one wants to see a lopsided event like this. You want it to go back and forth. You want there to be rivalries. And, you know, certainly the U.S. is a bit of a rut right now. But if there's anything that could be done to make it more competitive, you know, I think that would benefit the fans. That would benefit everybody involved.
KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Yeah, that's the whole thing, is getting people, we're invested. I mean, I made a comment on Facebook and I got just replies up, you know, and most of them weren't blaming Tom Watson. That may be different now that, of course, we hear about how he was during the team meeting on Saturday.
You know, right.
That was, but yeah, well, you know, it's just a different coaching philosophy. What I like is the way the Ryder Cup captain for the Euros is picked. I like the fact that their players get to have some say in who's going to be the captain.
I agree 100%. And I think, you know, if you read into, you know, Phil Mickelson's comments, it appears that he was not just speaking for himself. He was speaking for the rest of those guys on the team. So, you know, and I think they want to be more invested in the process and everything else. And you know what? In the old days, that's not how it was. And you know, in other sports, that's not how it is. But, you know, golf is different. And as you mentioned, things have evolved. And, you know, you got to shake something up at some point. And I think the PGA of America thought they were shaking it up by bringing Tom Watson back, by bringing, like, an older, more respected, a little, you know, tougher philosophy back. I think that was their way of shaking it up. But it really backfired, because that is not what today's players want. And certainly, it can't hurt to have the players choosing who they want as their captain. You've already heard Rory McIlroy go to bat for Aaron Clark to be the next captain. I mean, and you saw how Paul McGinley fit in with that team and how much they enjoyed playing for him and being around him. And, you know, the only time Tom Watson came up in press conferences was when players were asked about not playing, or, you know, and that's when they talked about him. So certainly you didn't feel that strong bond or connection with the U.S. team and their captain as you did with Paul McGinley and Team Europe.
Exactly. And I just thought, if Paul Azinger talked to the Euros about what they were doing, that, and, you know, then he comes, because he did pick their brain. You know, he wanted to. So it's not just the pod system, you know. And on the one hand, I'm really glad Azinger had that system and it worked and we won, and it's great. But I also see what Tom's saying when he says it's not groups of three, it's 12 people. But you got to get all 12, you know, on the same, working together and feeling good about the process. And I think that's what's lacking, is they're not feeling good. And something that I thought was interesting was, if Phil Mickelson said that he couldn't get a hold of Tom Watson to talk about the Ryder Cup for months ahead of time, and groused about that to the president, Ted Bishop of the PGA of America, then that's a real disconnect. Him wearing a different outfit than his team members, that all of these little subtle things showed you just how different his philosophy is in coaching, and maybe that just doesn't work in golf. I'm not sure. I'm going to change the completely. I'm not sure the short golf season, or shall I say the short off golf season.
What off season?
I know. It's like this week, so what? We don't have an event. Next week it all starts again.
Right.
That's a grind, speaking of your column, The Grind, at GolfDigest.com.
Thank you. Yeah, it really is a grind. And, you know, I think last year you had a lot of guys unsure, really, of what effects that would take, the toll of such a long season. And I think we saw it at the end of this season where you had so many guys, from guys like Phil Mickelson, veterans, to guys like Jordan Spieth, who were 21 years old, all saying how tired they were by the end of the season and how they needed a break, but they couldn't get one because, you know, there wasn't a week off during the playoffs. Then they went right to the Ryder Cup. And I think because of that, you're going to see even fewer of these big names or even the veteran players playing in any of these fall events. I don't, you know, expect them to be particularly, you know, great fields in any of these things, because I think guys are going to be even more guarded about burning out at the end of next season. So, you know, I know the PGA Tour wanted to make these events count a little more and, you know, just have more events where, you know, to get good ratings on TV and all that, but I just don't know if it's going to work. At some point, you know, you feel like the tournaments have been a little watered down by just how many, that there are.
Yeah. That they also, you know, that's like, okay, there's somebody who's willing to sponsor this event and throw $5 million out at us. Because that's, just in case you're wondering, you know, it's the sponsor, the title sponsor, who brings the cash to the table for the purse. And then it's the 501c3 that operates the event that brings the volunteers. And they have to do a lot of fundraising to make sure the event looks rich. And that, all of this is, it's extremely taxing, but I guess it must make a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess so. But again, at some point, you know, you don't want fans to think, oh, there's another tournament on. You know, you don't want them to blend into one another.
Yes.
When you have a tournament every week, it just seems tough. You know, every other sport, opening day is such a big deal. You know, the fans just can't wait for it to start. And you know, the season opening event in Hawaii, Not that in recent years it didn't always get all the best names, but you did have some sort of sense. This is a new year. This is a new season. We're kicking off with a premier event with just the winners from the previous year. You know, you at least got that excitement. And now it's like you don't know what the beginning of the season is, because you have next week at the Fries. You still have the SBS in Kapalua. And then you have kind of, you know, maybe a Torrey Pines where Tiger makes his debut, or the match play, you know. You just have all these different, quote, starts to the season, and I think it's just confusing, and I think that, again, it waters down and makes the fans maybe not as excited to tune in from week to week.
Yeah, I'm really glad that buy.com, is that the correct, you know, sometimes it gets confused. Who's in charge of the AAA club that we've got trying to get into the PGA Tour? It is
web.com, yeah.
Oh dear. You know, it just becomes a little bit over. There's just too much. Too much.
Right.
But at the same time that we have a culture developing that's really bringing the youth, trying to bring that youth market in. And you may have heard me make mention of DirecTV now using the Back Nine network.
Right.
And you had that in one of your the Grind columns about, and those girls are gorgeous.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. And the only person with any eye candy on the guy side for the girls, though, watching golf, is Shane Bacon.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this format that they've put together?
Well, you know, I wish I had DirecTV, because I've actually not, I know it kicked off this Monday. I really have not seen anything yet. The Back Nine Network has been something that's been talked about for years.
I had them on my show before they were even, when they were just a thought. It was
exactly.
Just, you know, so it was just a thought, but well, that would be kind of cool, you know, just do a,
right.
a show about golf lifestyle, people, what they
right.
do, not just following golf, that which is what this is all about on DirecTV, just in case you didn't know what we were talking about. Sorry, Alex, I thought I should interject that.
No, yeah, it's you know, kind of crazy that I actually didn't think it would ever officially kick off, and I'm glad that it has, and I would like to see it. I wish them all the best. It certainly is going to be a challenge. You have the Golf Channel already out there. Again, we mentioned Back to the Network. It's only on DirecTV right now, so certainly they're not reaching the biggest audience yet that they would like to. But
who do they want? What demographic do they really want?
Oh, well, you know, they're definitely, like you said, aiming at a younger golf crowd. I think they're trying to bridge the gap between golf and just, you know, entertainment in general. So I think they're hoping to bring in, you know, maybe not the most serious golf fan as well. Maybe then once they bring them in, you know, try to get those people into golf. But, you know, I think it's going to be tough, of course, because the Golf Channel, you hear from time to time that even as well of a job that they do, that they struggle from time to time with ratings, even with some of their, you know, great shows like Morning Drive.
Right.
It's just, you know, golf is, it's, you know, it's not the NFL. It's not the NBA. It's not Major League Baseball. It's tough. You know, there's fewer eyeballs out there. And now with two channels kind of competing for those eyeballs, I think it's just going to be, you know, it's definitely a struggle. But I like that they're taking a different tact and they're you know, going a slightly different route, making a little more about the entertainment. And, again, I wish them the best, and I'd like to see some of the programming.
I want DirecTV now just so that I can see Shane Bacon.
Yeah, exactly. I know why you want it.
Well, it's kind of like the guys used to tune in for Holly Saunders on Morning Drive.
That's right.
Yes. Shane.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Alex, I got to go. I got Bob Gutka.
Okay.
You are so fun to talk with. We
Oh, thank you, so much.
If there's ever a time that you just feel like popping on, just give me a shout out. You know, I don't.
Okay, will do.
That would be cool. All right.
Well, Danielle, thanks so much for having me on. It was a pleasure. Take care.
Take care. And this is Alex Myers, and you can follow him at AlexMyers3 on Twitter, and you can read him at golfdigest.com. His The Grind column comes out every Tuesday. My name's Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
We have a new phone number for you to call with your questions or your comments or your suggestions. The number is 844-332-8500. please call that number. It's 844-332-8500. With your questions, your comments, or your suggestions about your game or about the game or about what we're talking about, let us know maybe what the funniest or most memorable moment was that happened to you on the golf course. You could be the winner of a couple of sleeves of golf balls. The number is 844-332-8500. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And our friends at Poipu Bay. I love that golf course. Poipu Bay, 25% off the sale rack, 40% off. They have an Adidas and Ashworth table, 40% off. And there's tea time at 9:30, 10:50, and 11:20. Bob Bupka. Okay, maybe he's not. Should I do it again? Bob Bupka.
Danielle Tucker.
There you are. You're back. You were running off to the media. I don't blame you. And I got to meet Georgine, and that was wonderful. But tell me, what are your thoughts about all this? I mean, what was it like being at the Ryder Cup?
Well, first off, I have to gather myself here. Bitterly disappointed at the a moment found out that you're leaving me for Shane Bacon. So
never.
But anyway, it was an incredible experience from the moment we got there to the snooze box hotel, which I think we touched upon briefly while
yes.
I was on.
Yes.
320 units. I don't know if I was aware of the biggest benefit of the minuscule snooze box hotel, but it occurred when we woke up one morning and it was kind of chilly in the unit, and Janice turned her blow dryer on for 5 seconds, and it was about 90 degrees, so it didn't take much. And then all's well that ends well, because on the flight back, we got upgraded, and when we got to our first-class seat, I said to Janice, look at this. We got twice as much room in our airplane seat as we did in our hotel room.
Wait a minute. If you don't spend a lot of time in your hotel room, the snooze box works really good.
Well, yeah, no, it worked. It did work really good because it was 5 minutes away. We got driven to the media center by the, a golf court. So it couldn't have been any better. The guys that were staying at the media hotel, which we had the option to do, but that was in Glasgow. And that was some 90 minutes away.
Right.
So,
see?
You know, it wasn't the greatest hotel room in the world. It's not worth, 90 minutes each way getting there. But getting back to the Ryder Cup, first off, we got to really start with the country of Scotland, Danielle. As much as you do for golf, you really have to appreciate Scotland. They were, they had the mindset that they wanted to put on the best possible show in golf, and they accomplished that hands down. I mean, everything was magnificent. The grandstands that they built, the hospitality that was constructed, everything about it, the merchandise pavilion, the spectator village in case it were to rain. And by the way, the weather turned out to be absolutely delightful, a little chilly on occasion, but nothing bad, a little windy, but nothing real bad, nothing like the dire prospects that we had been warned about for the 2 years leading up to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Bob Bupka, Voice of Golf, golf reporter on Talk Sport. 3 million people were listening to Bob. And then he came over here and did our show. Isn't that wonderful? So, and Bob is co-host of the Grill Room radio show. You can find it on TuneIn Radio anytime. So the link is also at golfweek.com. So
we had quite an experience on Monday. We were gathering our equipment from the media center, and I knew that Paul McGinley was going to come in at 10 a.m., but we weren't going to be able to stay for the press conference due to a flight that we had to catch. But I purposely waited outside the media center, hoping that Paul would drive up. And lo and behold, about 5 to 10, he pops out of this brand new BMW and holding on to the Ryder Cup. And I just walked over and I said, what a job you did, Paul. Congratulations. And he said, and I want to thank you, Bob. He said, for 2 years, you've been talking about me on Talk Sport, and I'm a big fan of that station, and you always had kind things to say. You were a big supporter, and I truly appreciate it, which I thought was rather special. And then I said, Paul, would you mind if I just touch that Ryder Cup? He said, well, feel free if you want to, Bob. But he says, I think Americans are allergic to it.
Oh, woo, woo. That's good. That's good. Americans are allergic to it. That's our problem.
Well, we had a lot of problems. It's come to light now. There was a gathering in the team room on Saturday night before the Sunday singles, and that didn't turn out so well because obviously Tom Watson arrived and was very upset with what had transpired. Jim Furyk presented Captain Watson with a nice gift, which was a miniature Ryder Cup, and all the players had signed it. And Tom Watson was reported by reliable sources as saying, well, this doesn't mean anything unless you guys win tomorrow, which could have been a motivational tool on Tom Watson's part. But in reality, it went downhill from the start. I remember the first day that Tom Watson was brought into the media room, and a European journalist said, Tom, when was the last Ryder Cup you were at? And he said, 1993.
Whoa.
And 21 years without even going to a Ryder Cup, the Europeans jumped all over that. And, Paul McGinley, on the other hand, paid so much to detail that one fact came out of it that really blew me away. Each of the team rooms had a nice aquarium on one of the walls, and Paul McGinley, on his final visit about a month before the Ryder Cup, was asked, how do you like the aquarium? And Paul said, it's fine. He said, but I want you to replace all those fish in there. They either have to be blue and gold, the European colors, or they can't be in that fish tank. So, I mean, when you pay that much to attention to detail, you got all your bases covered.
Wow. I can think of a couple of tropical fish that would meet that, blue and gold.
Well, if you're in Hawaii and don't know anything about tropical fish, you haven't been there more than half a day.
What would you do to change how the U.S. would you think that Tom Watson didn't pay enough attention to detail? I mean, I always think that they have better clothes than we do. I don't know who designs our stuff, but what would you do to change it?
Well, one of the things I would do would be make the captain's picks at the conclusion of the Tour Championship. It's quite obvious this year that Billy Horschel would have been on the team, probably playing better golf than any American at the time. And that won't hold true each and every year, because more than likely anybody that's playing that caliber of golf is going to have made the team, on point. So, but it still would give the captain a little better opportunity of picking the hot player, Danielle, and not having to pick so far out. The other thing I would do, I would get past captains involved in the selection process for the next captain. It's the exact way the Europeans do it. Right now, the PGA of America, and I love Ted Bishop to death. That was his choice to, pick Tom Watson. And, it would have been a hell of a deal had they won.
Yeah.
Now that they don't, Monday morning quarterback is easy. But on a serious note, something definitely has to be done because people are losing interest in the Ryder Cup. We've lost 8 of the last 10, and the ratings for this one, obviously there was a time challenge because of being in Scotland, but the ratings were so far down from the ratings that occurred when we were at Medina 2 years ago, that if it keeps going in that direction, it's just going to become a non-event, almost to the extent where it almost became a non-event the other way until Jack Nicklaus in 1979 made the suggestion to the organizers that the Great Britain and Ireland team should be opened up to allow all of Europe to participate, which would make it more competitive. Well, we either, we got to do something now. And one of the suggestions I heard, believe it or not, is that it'd be United States and the rest of the world against the European side. But that's almost like the President's Cup. So I don't think you're going to see that happen.
No, I don't think so either. The rest of the world, that's cute. We've fallen so far. Every year we put together a team, the U.S. team, that goes up against a team, the rest of the world against the United States, or the United States against the continent of Europe. I think, we should make something like a continent against continent. You know, let's get it together. And
well, at least we should get Canada to play with us.
Well, yeah, Mexico's got some great players.
Yeah, Mexico too. Yeah.
Right, and as the globe gets, people, get everybody involved. I just think it's a pity that when we have Ryder Cup, that we leave out so many great players. It's the whole rest of the world that we've been, embracing as it's grow the game, get these people to play golf, get them. And then when it comes to the big events, we kind of like, no, we don't want you around. There's some work to be done. There's work to be done. And frankly, in the last 2 minutes of the show, I think the players should have some say in who their captain is. I don't know how much, but I think it should be done the way the Euros do it.
Well, that's a great suggestion. The only problem with that is when the captain has to be selected, we don't know who the players are. So
that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, maybe they should just say, hey, look, let's ask Danielle Tucker. She can pick a good captain, and you pick it. Probably the first captain will be Shane Bacon, I guarantee you.
I hear he's a really good golfer, so maybe
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know, like you know.
Bob Bufka, I just love talking with you, and you bring to the show elements that no one else can. You notice things wherever you go that no one else does, and that's why you're a very special person. I'm really grateful that you spend as much time as you do on the show. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, it's my honor and my pleasure, Danielle. Thank you.
We'll talk soon, right?
Right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. It's The Golf Club. Oh, you can follow us at The Golf Club. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. For protection for your home or your business. For your concert or your special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, it's what you need in Hawaii and California. He always makes me laugh, so I have to get my act together here. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Get an additional $750 off with special pricing that's available today. Just ask TJ about military appreciation pricing and go test drive the 2015 at the Acura of Honolulu location, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard, or go to Acura of Hawaii, and it's only AcuraHawaii.com. I'm trying to bring up the page where I have all the information. AcuraHawaii.com. Alert Alarm, protecting commercial and residential customers across Hawaii with affordable burglar and fire systems since 1962, providing security solutions for your peace of mind. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. It is absolutely gorgeous. For 10 years, Poipu Bay Golf Course hosted the PGA Grand Slam of Golf. And it's a wonderful golf course, regardless of your abilities. Do not be intimidated by that, okay? Even though those great players played it and they were challenged by it, you will have a wonderful time, as so many people do every day. And thank you, Avance Color Cut Silkening Technologies, extensions, manicures, and pedicures. It's all at Avance. Back 9 Network, I wish you all the best, and not just Shane Bacon, but we'll hopefully speak with Shane one day soon. He was going to be on last week. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. We're at RadioGolfClub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.